Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home.
We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle. I'm going to play football.
He's coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
BTSC Radio. I am your good friend, Brian Anthony Davis. Along with me today, as always, is Tony DeFio. And we comprise the 24-hour after Spectacular. Well, I think Spectacular is probably a little too braggadocious, but the extravaganza known as the Steelers Hangover. And so there's really nothing to be hungover of. But we've got an instant buzz because just a few hours ago, Bob Pompliani's interview with one Benjamin Todd Roethlisberger debuted on KDKA. The second part will be coming up on the 11 o'clock broadcast. And a lot of things. Now, a lot of things were said. Ben breaking his silence for the first time since December. First time talking about accusations of being a bad leader, talking about that fateful show in November, late November, where he called out Antonio Brown. There were apologies. Very interesting thing, and that's something that we're going to discuss heartily here on The Hangover. And Tony, good evening. How are you doing, my friend?
Good evening, Brian. Happy Monday. It's good to be with you as always. And I guess we can thank Ben for having some juicy tidbits finally, even though I don't think they're that juicy. I think they were spot on. But, yeah, it's nice to be with you again.
You know what? We did need this. You know, I kind of thought, and I'm in the middle of writing an article for Behind the Steel Curtain, saying that, you know, Ben really didn't have to break his silence. He didn't have to apologize to anybody. But it shows that the leaf that that Ben Roethlisberger is trying to turn over, or who he is trying to be. And it actually bodes very well for the makeup of this team going forward, minus two malcontents. And actually, I'm finding Le'Veon Bell to be less of a malcontent as of late, and I'm finding Antonio Brown to be double of one. And even when It became apparent that this interview was coming out and there would be apologies. Antonio Brown comes out with another cryptic post, but he could say that it means something else. But I would bet my bottom dollar that the words to and face are calling Ben a two-face. And I really don't see that as being necessary. From what you've heard of this entire interview and what Ben's doing, what are your early reactions? Now, we haven't heard the entire interview as of yet. There have been leaks and early quotes. So what are you feeling early in the game on this, Johnny?
Well, first, I just wanted to clarify. When I said spot on, I meant that I'm glad to see him taking the high road, but I'm with you. I don't think he had to apologize. I don't think he had to get back into good graces with his teammates. I think he's been a team leader this whole season, off season, by staying quiet. But I do like the fact that he is taking the high road, and he's, you know, a lot of people, not just AB, but a lot of people had a problem with what he said on that radio show back in November, and he, you know, maybe it's his way of apologizing to them too. You know, maybe he shouldn't have said it. Maybe he should have kept it in house. And I said this a million times, but I heard it live, and I didn't think it was a big deal at all. But my initial reaction is I'm glad to see him continue to take the high road. Even after he finally broke his silence, he said the right things. Whether I agree with him or not, I don't think he had to apologize, but I'm glad that he's taking the high road. And he didn't add any more negativity to the situation.
Well, I agree with you on that. And it's very rarely that you and I do disagree. One thing that we did disagree on is his discontinuation of his radio show. I was actually glad for it. And you were not. And I definitely respect your opinion on that. My contention was the fact that people like Antonio Brown would take those comments and blow them completely out of the water. And I was not loving the comments when they happened. We both were listening to it live. That's something I always made a point to do. That was must listen. If you're writing for BTSC, you're doing these shows, that is one of the number one things you do on Tuesdays. You listen to the Ben Roethlisberger show. And I hated it for a few reasons. I hated it because 93.7 The Fan, a radio station that I actually listen to quite a bit, I hated the fact that they would just take all of his comments, blow them completely out of proportion all day long. Then you would get on the show at from 2 to 6, the drive time show home, and you would have Chris Mahler completely destroy Ben Roethlisberger because he doesn't like him. And he would say, I don't like him. And he would completely destroy him and even blow stuff further out of proportion. But the minute that he would make a comment, it was on the news break just minutes later. You would be hearing it. And it wasn't the whole conversation. It was a snippet of the comment. And that sometimes, that might drive people to the radio station to listen, but it also is not complete. And when you just put a quote without the entire transcript, it's not always complete. For the record, I didn't like him calling out Antonio Brown in that situation. He did. But he's also, a lot of us were talking at that time that as the team leader, he has the right to call people out. But if you go ahead and dig a little deeper into Ben Roethlisberger, you realize that he is dealing with the fact that you have a player that he has to kind of walk on eggshells around. You've got a player that you've got to force the ball into. You've got a player that is running his own interpretation of routes and doing freelancing out there. And that leads to interceptions. When you have 16 interceptions in an NFL season, Tony, and 10 of those balls were intended for one player, that leads me to believe that it's half on the quarterback and half on the route running of the receiver. In the Denver game, I still think it was on the quarterback. But if you go back and look at it, there are other instances where it was a problem. Ben calls him out in practice against Cincinnati, and he throws a ball at him and storms off the field and never is on that field again. So that leads me to believe that Ben has a problem with his receiver, but his receiver has a problem with the way he's perceived to be treated. And now, well, that means that he hates them. And so it's blown completely out of proportion, and then we have the nonsense that we had dealt with all off-season long. And I didn't want Ben to come out and even discuss it. I like the fact that he was silent about it. I do like the fact that he has taken the high road in this interview, but Tony, you'd agree with me. The high road, when the other driver is Antonio Brown, is definitely a lowly road. What do you think?
I agree, because for whatever reason, no matter what happened between the two here, you know, if he's always talking about praying and he's, you know, talking about being spiritual, I'm talking about Antonio, you know, forgive him. If you have a problem with the guy and what he said, the best way to move on is to forgive him and say, all right, you know, we had our differences. I'm in Oakland now. I'm trying to make a fresh start, you know, no hard feelings. You know, maybe we'll get together again in the future and discuss it. But no, he continues to bash the guy 6 months. Yeah, there is no high road with Antonio Brown. He's a complete hypocrite. He really is. And he had me fooled for about 8 of his 9 years here, and maybe even 8 and a half. I really didn't start to doubt the guy as a team player until the end of last year. So he had me fooled, but apparently now it's coming out that the kind of person he is, and the kind of tweets he was sending out today, it just shows you more and more what kind of a guy he is. So Ben might take the high road, but like you said, there's nobody joining. The guy on the other end's not joining him. So what can you do? Just continue to take the high road, I hope.
Well, the biggest winner in the Antonio Brown scenario, shenanigans that he started himself, was Antonio Brown. He's also the biggest loser because his credibility and his reputation has taken a giant hit. And every time he presses send on something, he hurts his credibility and reputation even more. So Two-Face, it doesn't work for me. That I'm just so glad he's gone. And I hope Deontay Johnson, I don't think he's going to be Antonio Brown. I hope he's close, though. I hope he makes us forget about him, because I have never – I've been following sports for close to 40 years, maybe over. I'm 47 years old, and I've been following sports for a long time. I never expected to see this happen, and I never expected to see it happen in my backyard with my beloved Pittsburgh Steelers. The more and more this goes on, the more and more that you feel like this guy was a complete cancer on this team. But getting back to the whole Roethlisberger thing, before, and you might have already answered this in a way, before I started reading some of the quotes, do you think it was necessary for Ben to even come out?
I'm sorry, I lost you there for a second. Could you repeat that, Brian?
Do you really think it was necessary for Ben to even do this interview?
I think for his own peace of mind, because people are going to continue to bring it up, probably starting minicamp. I don't know if they can have access to the players yet in OTAs, but minicamp and training camp, he would have been addressing it every time he talked to reporters. So I think this is his way of getting it out there. And now, you know, if they continue to press him moving forward, he can always say, well, I gave an interview, I addressed it, I'm here to play football. So I think he had to do that just to give himself peace of mind with the media this spring and summer.
Okay, let's go ahead and do a fact or fiction real quick. Fact, this interview helps Ben Roethlisberger more than it hurts him. Fact or fiction?
I think it helps as long as he stayed positive. And we haven't seen the whole thing yet, but you know, as far as everything I've seen, it's all, you know, it's the usual Ben, you know, who takes the blame most of the time, except for that one time when he didn't, and everybody piled on him. But yeah, it's the usual Ben taking the high road, taking the blame. So I think it's definitely not going to be detrimental to him, for sure. So I think it can only help.
Well, before we go ahead into the major quotes of the first part of this two-part interview, I do want to mention I talked about 10 for 16, 10 of 16 interceptions going towards Antonio Brown for, I believe it was 64.5%, were all towards him, which could lead to the fact that he was forcing interceptions, forcing the ball to him to keep him happy, which that could be a good or bad thing. I mean, interceptions are a bad thing, but would I say good or bad thing? It's just like, was he just trying to keep peace with Antonio Brown by finding the ball, or was it just the fact that he's a guy they trusted? So that's something that we need to look at there. But the reason I'm bringing that stat back up is I want to thank Dave Schofield, who we have been discussing this for a while. Dave Schofield went ahead and got the stats together, and that's the first time I've ever seen this stat put out in print. So that's something that we got from Dave. So great job. He is our stat man extraordinaire here by the Steel Curtain, and I do want to recognize him for that. And we'll be talking about Dave a little bit later. There's a Behind the Steel Curtain contest that we want to talk about before we go off today. But let's get back to the Ben Roethlisberger interview. And the first question was basically, a lot of people were wondering to this point, why did it take so long? And I'm going to ask you to help me decipher this after I go ahead and read it. And Tony, so that's, I'll throw it to you. So here's the first one. Well, in the off season, I like to just be with family and be away and stay away from the craziness, because the media is my life during football season. So when I get a break from it, I try to get a break from it. I'm going to ask you, and I'm putting you on the spot, Tony, like I always do, but I'm not going to ask you to translate that.
Well, I think he realized that not anything he said, people were going to take it and run with it, like we were talking about everything that happened on his radio show. Everything he said on his radio show, if it was a controversial quote, they took it and they ran with it. So I think he knew when that stuff was hot, you know, back in January, February, March, anything that he said, he was going to have to answer 20 different people about it, you know, and they were going to dissect it. They were going to analyze it over and over again. And he was probably going to come out as the bad guy, depending on, you know, whether you like, you know, who liked him or who didn't like him. They were going to, tear him apart. And if they did like him, they were going to defend him. And it was just going to be a big circus. So I think he wanted to wait for a time for it to die down. And what better way than, you know, right before OTAs?
Yeah, that's very fair there. And I agree with it. And I think that was his rationale in coming out when he did. I still contend that he didn't need to. But he's speaking, and I think so far, you're right, we haven't seen the end of the interview, but I don't think it's going to trail off. I think the whole spirit of the first part will continue in the second part, and the high road is definitely being taken here. Here's the next question was, if he ever really got an answer from Brown as to why the relationship went bad. And he, his quote was, I'll start with saying, you're right. AB made me who I am. He was the greatest wide receiver I ever played with. The things that he did in this league and that we did together are among the best of all time. And you're right. There were some great things. And then all of a sudden it just kind of disappeared. And I'm not really sure where it went. We always worked through it, you know. We always came out the other side smiling and hugged it out and enjoyed it and moved on. And this time, I really don't know. They brought up the radio show on 93.7, the criticism he's taken, and if he has taken things too far at times. And Roethlisberger was quoted as saying, it's a fine line to walk sometimes of giving information out. Giving some cool things for the fans to be a part of and maybe saying too much. I know that I took some heat and deservedly so for some of the comments I made on that show and especially towards him. And I genuinely feel bad about that, and I'm sorry. Did I go too far after that Denver game? Probably. So what are you thinking with that? And that's a lot to decipher. What are you thinking there?
Well, I think that close. AB and Ben were never really chummy like, you know, he is with some of the guys on the team. But, you know, they were willing to work together. You know, obviously they make great magic on the field for forever. I mean, Antonio Brown's numbers are unparalleled over a six-year period, basically. So, you know, they were able to work through it professionally for how, what, 6 years, you know, while he was on his great run. But I just got to the point where he wasn't happy and he was under Todd Haley, and I think that had a lot to do with last year, why he was so, because he was really not the same person last year that he was in previous seasons. So I think it just started to sour, and he used the radio comment as a way to just blow everything up, in my opinion, Antonio Brown. He used that because, I mean, he was really bothered by that. You know, he mentioned it. He brought it up on that LeBron James show. I mean, he went at, you should have thrown a better pass or however you put it. So I think, you know, yeah, it went completely bonkers last year after that radio comment, and they were never going to reel it back in. Whatever professional relationship they had together, it was never going to be the same after he made that comment, because Antonio Brown obviously did not handle it well and still hasn't been able to handle it well.
But did it really, Tony? And the reason I'm asking you that is there was still a week before there was the Wi-Fi connection. We've got a great Wi-Fi connection. And then after the New England win, the win over the Patriots, there was no problem. There was no problem going into the New Orleans game. In fact, I don't think that there was a problem until he got mad at him on the field, and then on the practice field, because Ben asked him to run a route again, and I think somebody reminded him. Didn't he say something about you? Didn't he blame that loss on you in Denver? And I think this is just Brian. His brain stem just burning here, and thinking. I'm just thinking that this was just the catalyst to be a scapegoat and go back and grab that quote and make a big deal of it. And it's all, and the reason they needed to make a big deal, they needed dissension, that he needed to ask to be traded. I still don't think he was that mad at Ben Roethlisberger to be traded. I think they figured out, I think it was a genius plan that they hatched. He hatched with Drew Rosenhaus to get an extension, because he knew he was never going to get an extension from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he knew Juju Smith-Schuster, especially in that Denver game, who had a 97-yard touchdown in that Denver game, and also Ben quoted that because Antonio Brown was double covered a lot, he would have probably went. In that same interview, probably went to Juju four times if he could have. So I think it's just something that – I just think that was just something they went back and found. Like, yeah, there it is. There's our smoking gun. This is where we can lead this all back to. Does that have any merit with you?
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. Different – things you can point to for why suddenly he started acting the way he reason for it. I mean, even if he wanted to trade it, he could have been more professional about it. So I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know what acting like this. I mean, it could be just as simple as some people are saying. Be just as simple as that, and he just felt totally disrespected, and he wanted out. And obviously, it could be money. I mean, he got a pay raise, which I don't think was needed. He was already being paid a lot. So, I mean, there's so many different things. I mean, my head's spinning trying to figure this guy out. I don't know. I mean, it does have merit. It has, you know, if he's totally about the money, then and that's definitely, although I'm not so sure he at this point, he's rational enough to come up with any kind of devious scheme. Maybe his agent had more to do with it.
Yeah,
he was looking for a scapegoat.
Yeah, and he was looking for a scapegoat. So, yeah, I see where you're saying that. This is the rest of the interview. I can see where that comment was perceived to be negative towards AB, but it wasn't meant that way. It was more, you know, just like everything during the season, it's a compliment to AB because he's doubled every single play, and that's why. It's still so amazing that he was able to do it through all the adversity of double and triple teams. It was more meant that I should have gone to Juju because he was single covered. I regretted it. That's the thing about media and social media and things like that. As soon as you say it, sorry only goes so far. You can take it back, and I wish I could, because if that's what ruined our friendship and relationship, then I am truly, genuinely sorry about that. Now, most of that, I'm cool with. I call BS on the it's a compliment to AB because he's doubled every single play. You screwed up there with the comment in Denver. I know you're genuinely, truly sorry about it, and if that's what ruined our relationship, then I get it. So I'll take everything. I just, you know, that's backhanded to say it's a compliment to AB. No, I mean, you blamed him, and I'd rather you stand behind it.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
As the season came to the close, it seemed that other people were coming out, like you mentioned earlier, Tony, and questioning Ben's leadership. His comment to that was it was hurtful. They were hurtful, you know, and it was hurtful to myself. It was hurtful for my family. Leadership ultimately is about winning football games, and I didn't do a good enough job of being a leader because we didn't make the playoffs. So I need to reevaluate myself and how I can be a better leader. This year, the offseason, the OTAs, minicamp, training camp, how could I make myself a better leader so that we could win football games, which ultimately leads to hope of playoffs and a Super Bowl, because that, at the end of the day, that is the ultimate goal. That's all I want to do is win a championship, and everyone else in the locker room, that's all they want to do too. So, I mean, we don't even have to decipher that. That's, of course, he was hurt when all that stuff came out. And you said it all along. I'm giving you credit for this. He was listening. He might have not been talking, but you know he's listening, and he's crafting, and he's waiting for the right time to come out. And you even said that tonight. They asked if he tried to reach out to Brown now that everything is all said and done. You know, I've reached out to him a few times, sent him some messages, called him. I haven't heard back. But I'm sure he's getting busy with his season and getting ready, as I am with the guys that we have here. But, you know, I really am looking forward to reconnecting with him, talking, because, like I said, he's a good friend of mine. I still call him a good friend, and I hope that we can reconnect, and I hope that our friendship can continue to grow. You know, I appreciate him saying that. He just doesn't have a rational dance partner here, Tony. I don't think he will ever get on good terms with Antonio Brown. But I wouldn't be surprised to see both of them at the Pro Bowl together, and that would be a really interesting turn of events.
Yeah, I don't really I how sincere he was with that as far as wanting to reconnect with him. I mean, after all the stuff that he said about him and the whole – liking those tweets a while ago about him being accused of rape, meaning Roethlisberger being accused of rape years ago. So I don't know if he's sincere about that, but it was the right thing to say. I mean, it was a good thing for him to say, and another example of him taking the high road. But I never even thought of that. The Pro Bowl. Wow, that's actually a good point. it could be reunited in February, whether they want to or not. So yeah, that'll be pretty interesting, but. I don't know. I mean, I'm glad that he's again, you know, taking the high road and maybe, I mean, who am I to speak for him? Maybe he is, maybe they are really good friends. Maybe he does care about Antonio Brown, but I mean, if he is sincere, then he's a better man than I am, because I don't know if I could ever talk to that guy again if I was his teammate. And he said all those things.
It definitely would be pretty hard to. We actually have a phone call from a 404 area code. They've been waiting patiently on hold. Caller, you're on The Hangover with Tony and Brian. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, man. How y'all doing?
Very good. Who's this?
This is Naj.
What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, I don't know, man. This is an interesting conversation, but I think at a certain point, we got to be careful about siding with certain camps and then coloring our conversation in that way. So when we assume that one is operating in bad faith or being led around by the nose by an agent, and we give the other side all the country in the world, like, yo, those last couple of statements, man, that's some real backhanded company stuff. Like, if you and him are trying to reconnect or whatever, you just tell him, hey, well, that's between me and him. I'm not going to comment on it. But when you put it out there, make yourself the good guy. Yeah, reached out. He ain't got back to me, you know. Maybe he's busy. Like, that kind of – that's why people have said the things they've said about him over the past couple of years. And it appears he's the only one in the building who has, you know, this certain immunity. And I think after a while, and let's be honest about this, he's getting older, play has declined a bit, ball placement is bad sometimes, the fumbling issues, and sometimes not reading coverage the best. He makes mistakes too, and it's being, you know, he's kind of covered in the glory of being a two-time Super Bowl winner. And I think that can create some serious, you know, dynamics within a team where there are going to be problems. Did Antonio try to burn the building down on the way out? Yes, because he knew that was the only way he could get traded. The blonde butt mustache was the dead giveaway. Like, that dude was just clearly trying to show he was crazy to get out. Like, that was may have been a good con. You can compare it to Kyrie threatening to get knee surgery when he demanded the trade. So at that point, yeah, everything was over. But there appears to be a rewriting of Steeler lore right now to where Ben is being turned into – you know, Paul Bunyan, and it's like he did all this with Hammond Eggers after we saw a locker room where they just invaded Le'Veon's locker after they found out he wasn't coming back and talked about him in a way to where the O-line mattered and the running back didn't. Like, some of that stuff out of Pittsburgh stinks, man. I don't know if Tomlin is having issues with that locker room or what, but this is just coming from an outsider perspective, man. But there appears to be a whole lot of caping up for Ben. And it appears everything else is everybody else's fault. And I just don't know if that's, you know, closest thing to the truth.
Well, you know what? I cannot completely disagree with you on that, because that's that is a situation. I mean, that is a good way to look at it. I'm looking at the fact where I think Antonio Brown is a lot more intelligent than is being let on in this whole thing. I still contend, and I don't know if you've heard the entire show, but I still think the throwing him under the bus in Denver, I thought it was the wrong move. I said it then. I still continue. I think Ben definitely erred. But I kind of think that this whole thing, I still feel that it was orchestrated, Nas. And the reason I feel it was orchestrated, I just don't think Antonio Brown hates Ben Roethlisberger that much. I don't think Le'Veon Bell had a problem with Ben Roethlisberger whatsoever. But Le'Veon Bell, his deal blew up in his face. And in fact, Le'Veon Bell is saying all the right things right now, for the most part. And he did not get the deal he was hoping to get. And I think that is more of the fact that he's a running back. And that's the entire situation he's having with New York right now. It's
not that they didn't want Le'Veon Bell, that Adam Gase didn't want Le'Veon Bell. He didn't want to pay that much money for a running back. So when after that deal went sour and he threw Ben under, I thought that was a move that was like, look, we need to jump on this bandwagon and go ahead and throw him under as well. But, you know, you may be right with the mystique of being a two-time champion. What's really going to tell the story and what's kind of told the story so far are the guys like Pouncey, the guys like Juju that have come out and defended him really well from just for the last couple months. So where does the dynamic go?
Well,
that's where we're going to find out.
Right, but ask me about my manager right now, where I'm currently employed. Now ask me if I'm working for a couple of months of my work somewhere else. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's really hard to take some of that stuff at face value because that's where you're being paid. Now, when Adam Gase, who has a reputation for what? Being connected to Peyton Manning, can walk into a building and get a GM fired and talk about the deals that were signed? Like, we are in a strange place in football. Like, we're getting to the point to where running backs are now going to become, you know, the value because everybody is now saying, oh, running backs don't matter. Seems the man in Boston didn't think so when he drafted one in the first round last year, and it came into play as they played ground and pound and won the last
Big
Super Bowl.
Time.
So I think we're getting into the point where analytics is driving us crazy and everybody's trying to do the same thing, and Bill is going to walk in and do simple stuff and make the rest of the league look stupid. And I think that's about to happen, man. But it is.
Well, you know what?
I'm
47 years old, and the game is not what I recognize anymore, because it always seemed to the running back when I was growing up, and I grew up with Franco, and I was elated when Bettis was in, and I remember the Frank Pollard and Walter Abercrombie days when those guys were making stuff happen in the 80s as well, and it's just for me. The running back, they drove the whole train. Even when Barry Foster was gone in the 95 season, they had
good
two
pull.
Guys, Eric Pegram and Bam Morris.
Yep.
They came in and they made it work. It was always the running back for me. And when you say that about the running back position being devalued, I hate it more than anything. I hate the fact that these guys aren't getting recognized and getting paid because they have a shorter shelf life. So there's so many things into it. So you and I could probably sit down and have a couple of cold ones and agree on a lot of this stuff too.
Yeah, well, let me just get one last thing in, and I agree with you. I understand. Like, if you got a running back who can't catch, who kind of tips your hand on plays, I agree with you. Those running backs are kind of dinosaurs. But guys like Le'Veon, who catch more than the number two wide receiver on most teams, that's a different thing. Like Saquon Barkley, he might catch 80 balls next year. Like, that's a different thing. If you got a running back who expands your passing game, hey, man, that's a beautiful benefit to have. But I understand also the Steeler way of not paying for past production. So you get old, the Steelers are not going to pay you if you're a skills position guy. Like, I understand that completely. And I think Antonio understood that too. So a part of this too was probably his last way of getting a payday. So I get all of that too, man. But y'all having a good conversation, so I'm going to hang back and listen. This is good. And good pull.
Great, thank you so
much. I
ain't heard
your name in years. Good pull, man. I said good pull on Foster. I ain't heard that name in years. But yeah,
I actually ran into him a couple of years ago. He was a really cool guy to talk to too. But yeah, thank you so much.
Indeed. Have a good night.
So Tony,
take care.
Tony, what are you thinking there? That was a good call.
When he was saying. Yeah, it was a really good call. Very, very good call. I hope he calls back during the season every week. But as far as what he was saying about Ben versus AB, the perception, I mean, well, Ben's saying all the right things, and he has been, you know, and AB's been saying all the wrong things. He's been acting, he's the one who's acting irrational. The other guy was quiet for the longest time. Now he's finally came out and he acted, you know, professionally. He said the right things. He appeared to be genuinely hurt by everything that happened between the two. So naturally, people are going to public perception is going to shift to Ben. And plus, he's a Steeler and Antonio Brown isn't. So you circle the wagons and you stick with who you have and you say goodbye to the guy who didn't want to be here. As far as everything that happened with Le'Veon Bell, I agree there. If I'm the Jets owner, whoever that is, I don't even know who that is, I'm saying, look, you haven't accomplished anything in this league. Adam Gates, has he even won a playoff game? He's already come in. He won a power struggle with the GM who drafted all the players and signed all the free agents, and now he's gone. And now you're trying to get rid of the running back that we just brought in here for a lucrative deal. I'm going to tell that guy to slow your roll. So it points to the stability, how important stability is at the head coaching level. You want to get rid of the head coach. You want to get rid of Mike Tomlin. You know, you don't careful what you wish for. So that's how I feel about all that.
Well, you know what? Talking about the Le'Veon Bell situation, I'm going to take some heat for this. I'm kind of pulling for him a little bit now. A whole lot more. Actually, I'm pulling for him because now they're talking about trying to trade him for a situation. And I'm not a big Adam Gase fan, just for a few things. I really think he is one of those he's a my way or the highway coach, and I'm just I realize what he's trying to do to come in here, but I don't know if that's going to work in the New York media. And the thing is, you got a pretty good deal on – you got a running back under his value. I think he was a lot more valuable than what they paid for him. And he is going to win games for that team. He is going to take pressure off of a second-year quarterback. He's going to be running behind a bad offensive line, but he's still going to be a 1,000-yard rusher if he stays healthy. He's going to catch 60 or 70 balls, and he's not really going after Pittsburgh. He went after them right away, and I almost felt like he had to. And the reason I say I almost feel like he had to was because he was trying to take the pressure off the fact that the gamble did not pay off. But my question to you, Tony, is if you're an NFL player and you're in this type of situation, which script are you going to follow? Are you going to follow the Antonio Brown script? Or are you going to follow the Le'Veon Bell script? Because the one script, the script was Antonio Brown. He might not look good to some, but he got everything he wanted, and then some. If you follow the Le'Veon Bell script, if you're an NFL player, you gamble and lose a year of playing, and actually lose money because he lost money. I know he gets guaranteed cash, but he still loses money. So what script are you going to follow?
Well, I mean, it's when you put it that way, I mean, you know, he's – and it would be hard to not follow the Antonio Brown script because he got – like you said, he got everything he wanted. He got out of Pittsburgh. He got the guaranteed money he wanted, and you know, and as you said, you're kind of pulling for Le'Veon Bell, right? Because now you're feeling sorry for him, not the contract thing, but what's going on with his head coach. So my point with that is, it's easy to gain public sympathy, you know, in a matter of weeks. So trying to be a sympathetic character, and this might all be forgotten. And he'll still get away with everything he wanted. I find it hard to believe that people are going to ever feel sorry for that guy because I'm not sure if he's ever going to change. But Yeah, I think you have to go with the Antonio Brown script.
And you know what? To go back to something that Naz said, yeah, I'm not going to rip on my current bosses right now, and I'll probably and actually I like my current bosses, and I like the management here at Behind the Steel Curtain. I do a podcast with the management at Behind the Steel Curtain when I do one with Jeff Hartman. I am saying that now publicly, and I'm not doing it to wax his car because we just know each other and we just get along and we're on the same page. If I left here, it would probably be just because I'm probably too busy to do it, and I would probably not say anything about it on the other side. But I had a boss 2 years ago that bought with not with Behind the Steel Curtain, but with my my true profession, that every day I will tell you that how much I appreciate my bosses now, because that one was the spawn of the devil. And it was the worst boss I've ever had and almost killed my entire career. So, but was I going out publicly and saying it? No. So Naz is right. I was, in fact, when she was gone and I could finally talk to teammates about what happened, they were flabbergasted. They had no idea some of the stuff that happened. And they were comparing notes. They're like, I thought you were the golden child. I'm like, I wasn't. In fact, they're like, we thought she loved you. And I'm like, I wasn't. And they started telling me their horror stories. And it was just, it was a bad situation. And now I tell everybody that'll listen. I'm telling you guys, you know. So it's true on that. So what is the current state of the Steeler locker room? Did those guys, is Ben doing damage control right now? I don't really think so. I think there's guys that truly appreciate him in that locker room. But we'll see what happens in the 2019 season. It's going to everything's going to be happy, shiny, going into training camp, and they're going to have full support. We'll see what it looks like. But if this team is 7-9, 8-8 at the end of the season, so we'll see what's true there. But for right now, Ben's coming out. He's taking the high road. I feel Antonio Brown could take a higher road. I think he, by doing the two-face thing, it's just my theory, and I use the phrase, my brainstem is burning, because I'm, I mean, it's sizzling, because I'm coming up with ideas here, that I think it was those two put together the perfect plan that actually worked. But with that being said, we're never going to truly know what happened. But it went this year, even before training camp started, it was a different, more sour Antonio Brown. And I hope he finds peace in Oakland. I don't wish him bad there. I don't expect him to. I expect him to have a Pro Bowl season. I said it earlier on the show. He'll probably meet up at the Pro Bowl. I think he's going to have a great season. He's not going to have the tools that he had. Will that take a chunk out of his numbers? I think he's too dynamic for that. But at this point, I'm the kind of guy, and I'm kind of already doing it with Le'Veon Bell, with what I said. I'm the kind of guy, Tony, that I'm like, well, okay, you're there. We're here. We're going to work with what we have. And I don't have enemies. Heck, my ex-wife, I have an ex-wife, and if you ask her what went wrong, she will tell you, and I would bet you $1,000 that she would tell you that she was wrong and I was right, and she feels bad. And you know what? That's her saying that. And I have family members and friends saying, oh, my gosh, I bet you hate her. I'm like, I don't hate her at all. It just didn't work. We're in two separate places. We communicate on Facebook every once in a while. I mean, I haven't seen her face in 12 years. But the reason I'm bringing that up, Tony, is I can move on. And I don't think Antonio Brown's ready to move on. I think Ben's ready to move on. But maybe Naz is right, and there's some hurt feelings with Antonio Brown that we don't know about. So let's just stay tuned at this point. What's your closing thoughts, Tony? Did I lose Tony?
I'm still here.
Oh, there you are.
You
what are your closing thoughts, Tony?
Well, my closing thoughts are, everything that I've been seeing on social media lately with this team, meeting the Steelers, it tells me that they're at least trying to move on from, and they're trying to be a better locker room. And I mean, last night, Anthony Ciccolo and Josh Dobbs tweeted out a video of them getting ready to watch Game of Thrones. You know, a backup quarterback and a backup linebacker together. You know, T.J. Watt and Big Al went fishing. You know, that kind of stuff's been going on, you know, a lot lately. And that's, to me, it's great to see. So my closing thoughts are I'm glad to see the Pittsburgh Steelers are trying to move forward and trying to do the right things. They know the public perception of them is that of a circus. It has been for quite some time. And they're trying to move on. They're trying to be better leaders. I said this before. You could be a great leader, but if people aren't willing to follow you, then it's not going to work. And I think they got a couple of guys who weren't willing to follow anybody. They got them out of the locker room. And now the people that want to stand up and be leaders, like Cam Hayward, Big Ben, Foster, those kind of guys, they're going to be much more. Well, anything in 2019, we don't know yet, but I think it's going to be a much more harmonious and close-knit team. And I think that's a great start.
And if those two players that don't want to be leaders want to be successful in their new position, they need to take a leadership role. And I hope they do. They will find that it is easier said than done, but they really need to go ahead and take the reins of their team. And, We'll just see what happens. Now let's close this out with some fun stuff. If I asked you right now, Tony, who the most dynamic, refreshing, entertaining player on the Pittsburgh Steelers is, who would you tell me it is?
Oh, well, that's easy. It's Juju.
And the city of Pittsburgh and beyond, Steeler Nation have fallen in love with this guy. And
oh, yes.
He's because he's a guy that you root for. Because he seems like your son, your little brother, your buddy, the good-natured guy that you just like. And it's because of the way he carries himself, the way he plays. He goes out there and he has some touchdown dances that I can't help but to chuckle at. some I don't understand. And like Dragon Ball Z, I knew nothing about. Somebody had to explain it to me because I just don't know the game. But other stuff, I just really appreciate everything he does. But the touchdown dances are something that he continues to refresh. And so behind the steel curtain has a jersey to give away. And it's a Juju Smith-Schuster jersey, any size that you pick. All you have to do is we will have the hashtag coming up very soon. But what you have to do is put together your video of your Juju Smith-Schuster celebration. The freshest one wins. It's not us who's picking it. It's, Tony, me, Dave Schofield, Jeff Hartman. We don't have anything to do with it. We're going to have you guys post it. It's how many likes you get, how many retweets you get. If you get Juju Smith-Schuster to like your video, and it's very possible because there are Steelers that have liked stuff on Behind the Steel Curtain before. I remember when D'Angelo Williams did. And there have been others. So if Juju catches wind of it and votes for it and retweets it, or heck, even does it, you're going to win. Mm-hmm. But no, you're going to get you're going to get the equivalent of 1 million likes if Juju steps in and likes it. If he likes more than one, they'll all get the equivalent of 1 million likes. And it'll just go to the voting. But it's something that is going to be really cool. I can't wait to see these videos. So start getting your videos ready. Tony, I've got bad news for you, though, my friend.
What's
you
that?
Are not eligible. You're not eligible.
Well, I'm a professional.
Your mind was spinning. You were deciding which one, what you were going to do. You had your video
camera
ready.
My creativity was taking over. Yeah. But
why
am I
picturing you with
so...
this giant beta machine from 1983?
Well, I am very analog, so you're right. I'm not very tech savvy, so I probably wouldn't win. I'd have to have somebody film it for me.
And you don't have to be tech savvy. That's the great part. You just have to be creative. And I wouldn't be surprised if Juju does catch wind of this. And I would not be surprised if he does retweet some of these. So get your thinking caps, your creativity, make it fun, and have fun with it. Somebody's going to win that jersey. And we're going to have plenty of fun opportunities here at Behind the Steel Curtain. And this is going to be one of the great ones. So I'm really excited for that. So make sure you keep tuned to the podcast. We have so many on our format right now, on so many different platforms. You have this one here on Blog Talk Radio. On all the other platforms, you have the standard. It's standard. You have Yeah, I Said It. You have the Steeler Preview, and much, much more. So with that being said, keep checking us out for all the information of the contest, but start creating your own videos. And I would love it if we're watching a game and Juju Smith-Schuster does your move. That would be absolutely amazing. But with that being said, Tony, we talked about a lot. We had a great call in, and we appreciate it. And as always, definitely call into the show. It's fun to talk to you. That's why we're still on Blog Talk Radio, so we can talk to the fans. Have a great night, Tony. Thank you for everything.
You too, Brian. Thank you. It was a great show, and we had a great caller, and I can't wait to do it again next week.
All right. So get ready for the part two of that interview. It's going to be interesting to hear the rest of Ben's story. I still think it's going to be high road. I don't expect any surprises. But we'll see how this shapes up. If there are any replies from Oakland or Miami or wherever AB is right now, I'd love to see this whole situation. Just I would like Ben to get his wish and for them to be back on good terms. But if it doesn't, it doesn't. But for Tony DeFeo, for Behind the Steel Curtain, my name is Brian Anthony Davis. You, our friends, have just been hungover. Good night, and thank you.